Well, for the past 3 weeks, we have been learning about and understanding God's enemy, the Satan. We learned about different schemes used by the enemy. If you still remember, about deception, about temptation, and last week about accusation. When Christ returned, getting closer and closer, the world would become more and more chaotic, unfortunately. And according to the Bible, the attack from the enemy will just become more and more intense. And according to Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 3, Jesus said, "As Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and asked, 'Tell us, Master, when will all these things be, and what will be the signs of your coming and of the end of the age?'" So the disciples want to know more. And Jesus answered them very clearly, "See that no one lead you astray." Pay attention to whom. To whom did Jesus was referring to or addressing to? It was not the world. It was not just the general public. The them here actually refer to the disciples, Jesus' follower, which is the church. And Jesus warned them, "Let no one lead you astray. Don't let the enemy lead you away from the correct way, the truth." And then in Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, Jesus continued, "For many will come in my name," Jesus said, "saying that I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray." Jesus here is predicting that at the end times, many false Christs, well, which is not Jesus Christ, but false Christ, will appear and lead many to the wrong way, including Jesus' follower. And then, as the chapter continues in verse 23 of Matthew 24, "Then, if any," Jesus continued the reminder, "if any say to you, 'Hey, look, he is the Christ,' or 'Hey, there he is,'" Jesus said, "do not believe it." Verse 24, "For false Christ and false prophet will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect," which is the God-chosen people. So, in the New Testament, it was mentioned not just one time, not twice, but repeatedly, that false Christ, false prophets, and false teacher will appear. No surprise, it was already mentioned. And these agents of darkness, that's also our title tonight, would deceive the whole world, including the church. So as we are concluding the series called The Schemes, let's take a closer look at these three different agents of darkness. Let's first start with the false Christ. Let's go back, Matthew chapter 24. In verse 24, we just read, "For false Christ and false prophet will arise and perform great signs and wonders," right? Because of their ability to perform this great signs and wonders, supernatural stuff, people would be led astray, and even Jesus' follower. And Jesus then elaborate more detail about what would happen. In verse 26, Jesus said, "So if they say to you, 'Look, he,'" which is the Christ, "'is in the wilderness,'" Jesus said, "do not go out. If they say, 'Look, hey, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it." Verse 27, "So for as the lightning comes from the east and shine as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." So here, Jesus is warning us that if there are rumors that Christ has come to some local spots, you know, Christ come to Richmond or Christ come to Burnaby, okay, do not believe it. When Christ returns, it would not be just a local event, but a universal one. Everyone in the world will witness his return in the same time. It will be unmistakably clear. It won't be confusion. So let us be on guard about Satan, this first agent do not believe in false Christ who perform great signs and wonders. So much about the first agent of darkness. Let's go to the second one. The second group of agent is the false prophets. Before we go to the false one, let's ask, who are the true prophets in the Bible? The true prophets are people who receive special revelation from God, according to the Bible, as we read from Old Testament since to the New Testament. They are called by God, they receive special revelation, and then they sent by God to deliver this message to the people of God. So they have something real from God. And what about the false prophets? You wonder, well, you probably can guess, but let us go to one special chapter in the Bible. If you want to know more about the false prophet, it's Jeremiah chapter 23. In verse 15, it says, "Therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts concerning those prophets, behold, I will feed them with bitter food and give them poisoned water to drink. For from the prophet of Jerusalem, ungodliness has gone out into the world." Verse 16, "Thus say the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of those prophets who prophesied to you, filling you with vain hopes. They," those false prophets, "they speak vision of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord." So this is one of the, if you want to know a little bit about false prophets, I think this is very clear here. This is how false prophets were defined. They claim they receive God's message. They claim that they receive visions from God. But here in Jeremiah 23, actually those were visions of their own minds, not from above. They just create their own visions. And then in verse 17 of this same chapter, they say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, "Hey, it shall be well with you." And to everyone who stubbornly follow his own heart, those false prophets will say, "Hey, no disaster shall come upon you. You'll be okay." You see the difference? Jeremiah told us that false prophets were actually welcomed by some people because they were preaching something people like to listen, right? Well, that's nice. "It shall be well with you. No disaster shall come upon you." So those are the false prophets. They will say to you, "Well, it shall be well with you. No disaster. God will only bless you. God won't leave you alone. God will protect you." Okay, all the good stuff. And who, from the Bible, who would like to listen to these false messages? Those who despise the word of the Lord. Those who stubbornly follow his or her own heart. So while people like to listen to these kind of comforting, nice message from false prophet, but God say no. God is challenging these, I would call it, unauthorized agents. Unauthorized agents. Verse 18, "For who among them," which is the false prophet, "has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to God's word and listened?" God is challenging them. So Jeremiah 23 is an important chapter because God gave us a few marks about how we can discern those false prophets. Mark number one is about their character and behavior, which are not aligned with God's holiness. In verse 13 of this same chapter, it says, "In the prophet of Samaria, I saw an unsavory thing. They prophesy by Baal and led my people Israel astray." What does it mean that the false prophet prophesied by Baal? This is the false god, actually. So instead of focusing on God Jehovah, these prophets were actually assimilated by the surrounding culture. They simply preach something people like to listen. Well, don't worry, just relax, don't be too hard on yourself, you know. God will just want you to be happy, something like that, right? Then God said in Jeremiah 23, verse 14, in the prophets of Jerusalem, God said, I've seen a horrible thing. They, which is the false prophet, they commit adultery. They walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of the evildoer so that no one turns from his evil. All of them has become like Sodom to me and its inhabitants like Gomorrah. So while this false prophet was trying to act like God's agent, well, they try to deliver some high-sounding messages. Their actions are not compatible. No way. These false prophets, they commit adultery, right? As we just read, they walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of the evildoers. So from their characters, from their behavior, no one would connect them to be agents of the Holy God. That's mark number one. The second mark of the false prophet is about their visions and their predictions. Those are not aligned with God's word. Verse 25, I've heard what the prophet have said who prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreams. And then next verse, how long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophet who prophesied lies and who prophesied the deceit of their own heart? So the so-called visions of these false prophets were made up of ideas projected by their own mind, their own thinking, which God never revealed. Two more verses here in the same chapter. You see, Jeremiah 23 is an important chapter. Verse 28, let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. Who has straw in common with wheat, declare the Lord. Is not my word like fire? Declare the Lord. And like a hammer that break the rock in pieces. So the message from the true prophet is totally different. God's word is like fire, which burns away all the ungodly and false messages. So these are the second mark. Third mark of false prophet is about the mindset and about their attitude, which is not aligned with God's heart. So the false prophet actually do not care about God's people. In verse 21, it says, I did not send the prophet, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. Interesting. But if, verse 22, if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of the deeds. So God said that if these prophets care about us, care about the church, care about the God's people, they won't just preach about this gratifying but empty messages. True prophets would call God's people to repent. True prophet will advocate God's people to turn away from sin. So here, verse 32, God said, behold, I'm against those who prophesy lying dreams, declare the Lord, and who tell them and lead my people astray by the lies and the recklessness when I did not send them or charge them. So after we study almost the whole chapter of Jeremiah 23, right, it is very clear that false prophet was not sent by God. They simply did not care about God's people. By their lies, by their recklessness, they only lead God's people astray. So it is very clear that through Jeremiah 23, God gave us these clear marks to discern and identify the false prophet. At Koinonia, so let's think about us. While we believe the gift of prophecy, we also have the responsibility to discern, to discern. So let me just recap. The three principles as our church, our pastoral team has been using to discern about prophets. Three things. When someone claims to be a prophet, does the character, does the behavior of this person align with God's holiness? When someone claims to be a prophet, does this person show a deep love of God's word? When someone claims to be a prophet, does this person engage and serve at a local church? So these are the principles our church used to discern about prophet. So much about false prophet. Let's go to the third group, which I probably spend a little bit more time, is the third agent of darkness, the false teachers. The false teachers. So who are the false teachers? 2 Peter chapter 2 said it well. Just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresy, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. So here, there are two characteristics about this false teacher here. Number one, false teacher bring heresy into the church. And second, false teachers would encourage Jesus' follower to follow themselves instead of Jesus. So false teacher would encourage Jesus' follower to depart from the church and join their heretical organization. And these false teachers are the Satan's agent in leading the world astray from God. False teachers would turn a person away from following Jesus to following the heresy. Well, so much about the Bible, so much about those three group of people, right? Maybe after hearing all of this for the past 17 minutes, perhaps you may wonder, what does it have to do with me? What does it have to do with Koinonia? We join our worship service every Saturday. Most of us join Oikos as well. So maybe deep in your heart, you don't think that the false teacher will ever be our problem, right? But let me tell you a true story about false teacher. It's a true story happened right at Koinonia to protect the privacy of those involved. So some names have been changed. So the person's name is called Kerry, K-A-R-I. Kerry is a young adult who has been joining KEC for about 2 years. One day when Kerry was doing some shopping, Kerry came upon two girls of her age, young adults as well. And over their conversation, she found that, they were also Christian. And they even shared their contact after they met. And interestingly, and another occasion, just some weeks later, they met again at another occasion. And those two girls invite Kerry to a picnic, which was in the summer. And at the picnic, interestingly, Kerry also met other people, which are from different churches. Besides food, besides game, you can imagine, you know, in the nice Vancouver weather. Actually, at the end, that picnic also ended with a short Bible message as well. And after the picnic, Kerry was really impressed. Wow, what a great way to connect with Christians from different churches. They have fun. Also, they learn something new from the Bible. And a few days after the picnic, the girl contacted Kerry and invited her to join a Bible study. And Kerry accepted the invitation. And after attending a Bible study for a few weeks, Kerry actually was really impressed by the quality of the Bible study leaders. She was also impressed by the participants as well. They were all serious learners studying God's Word. And they even have to do assignments, okay? It's not just a lecture. They have to do an assignment. And after joining the Bible study for about five months, Kerry had a chance to share this new learning experience with one of our pastors at Koinonia. And over the conversation, Kerry shared about she has been studying the parable of Jesus, something about Old Testament prophet, and also some symbols from the book of Revelation. You still remember, right? Before the new year, we also did Revelation. So our pastor wanted to know more details. So Carrie shared what she just learned the week before they met. The passage, interestingly, was from Ezekiel 24. Probably none of us have read that, but let me give you just a little idea. What is that? Ezekiel 24, I'm not going to explain a lot, but just want to give you an idea. Talk about cooking, okay? Put the pot on the fire, put the pot and pour in the water, put the pieces of meat, put in every good piece, the thighs and the shoulders, pile the wood under the pot and boil the pieces of meat. Looks like campfire, you know? If we study a little bit, if you go to any study Bible, they would tell you a little bit what this mean. Our pastor knew what was that, right? Actually, this passage symbolized God's warning. It's a final warning from God to the Israelites. This is Ezekiel, right? Before their captivity. Well, I don't have time to go through this passage. So our pastor asked Carrie, okay, Carrie, so what did you learn from this story, you know, because it was just a week she studied this passage, right? So according to the Bible study leaders, Carrie told our pastor what the meaning, okay? The meat represent brother and sister in church. The pot is a church. The fire is a Satan, and the wood is a church pastor. When the pastor heard about this interpretation, he was a little bit surprised and also puzzled, because he was pretty sure this passage in the Ezekiel, this is not the meaning about the story, right? So the conversation went on and Carrie continued. The Bible study leaders also mentioned that some church pastors have been blinded by Satan, and they might deliver some distorted message to the church. And in light of this, the Bible study leaders told the participant in the Bible study to be careful when listening to their own church sermon and use what they learn in their Bible study to evaluate the church sermon. I'm sure you didn't expect that, right? And then, in the Bible study, they said, if they find out any discrepancy, they should leave the church and join a Bible study, because the Bible study group, that one, is using the correct way to understand the Bible. After our pastor hearing all these, he asked Carrie to let him review all the notes that Carrie has been taking for the past 5 months. Because Carrie was a good student, so she took a lot of notes. And then our pastor reviewed them. And after reviewing all the notes, the pastor noticed a few characteristics about this Bible study group. Number one, this group tell people that actually, within the Bible, there are different hidden meanings behind all the biblical symbolism, and most people won't understand. For this symbolism, only a special group, a chosen group of people, will have access to the meaning. And the Bible study members need to discern whether their own church pastor is blinded by the devil from the truth. And when they notice their own church pastor teaching is not aligned with what the Bible study group was teaching, those members should leave the church and join the Bible study group, because they have the correct way to understand the Bible, right? So after all the dialogues, you can imagine, our pastor realized that there is a crisis. There is a crisis. And when our church pastor tried to find out more about this group, since I never even mentioned the name, right? To his surprise, this group does not have a website. This group does not have a YouTube channel, so you can search what they teach. And the meeting place has no signage. At least we have a banner, right? We have something outside, right? So nothing. And eventually, this incident was reported at our pastoral team at Koinonia. And after certain further investigation, which is a lot actually, but the pastoral team, have some clue about this group. Next slide. This group actually is affiliated with a cultic movement established in Korea, Shin Chung-ji Church of Jesus, or SCJ. Literally, it means New Heaven and New Earth. New Heaven and New Earth. Okay, all the Bible terms, right? So SCJ has become a worldwide movement, and the founder of this cult claims that he is the promised pastor. He claimed that he is the one chosen by God to rule the world with a rod of iron, based on Revelation chapter 2, verse 27. If you know, that is one of the letters to the churches. So church, as we reflect on what happened to Carrie, one main thing we learn is that we are not immune from the false teachers. Christian in Vancouver are not immune. Koinonia is not immune. Church, at Koinonia, as we have seen all these happening, we know that the end is getting closer. We know that Jesus is coming back anytime. And after understanding for the past 4 weeks the devil's schemes, after knowing all the different agents of darkness tonight, our next question for you and for me as well, how should we then live? What should we do? I hope if I just stop here, you say, wow, that is pretty scary, right? Do we have a way out? Well, actually, we do. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 24, the passage that we have been started. Jesus teaching and warning about the future. Verse 36, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Verse 43, but know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief has come, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Verse 34, therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So verse 44, this verse is the crux. Therefore, you must be ready. The real question is not about when the false Christ will appear. It's not about how many false prophets are coming, nor where we can find all the false teachers as well. The real question is, the moment when Jesus comes back, what are you doing at that moment? We must be ready. You must be ready. From Matthew chapter 24 to the next chapter 25, actually, Jesus continue to elaborate. What does it mean to be ready? I don't have time to go through all of them. I just want to give you two highlights. At the end of Matthew 24, actually, there are two kinds of servant. The faithful and wise servant, who was a good steward of the master resources, versus the wicked and lazy servant who ignore the return of the master. So they're the two kinds of servant. And then in the beginning of Matthew 25, this is the parable of the 10 virgins or 10 bridesmaids. There were also two different mentality. The foolish one who took their lamps but no oil, you probably have studied that before, versus the wise one who took oil and the lamp. So my challenge for you, Koinonia, tonight is that in front of us, there are two options. There are two choices. After going through all the teachings, are you going to live business as usual? Are you still living in complacency, as if there's no real urgency? Or would you live differently after this evening, knowing all the scheme from the enemy? Will you live your life in expectation? Will you live your life as if Jesus will be back anytime in 2024? Will you live your life for what really matters, for eternity? Will you live your life like the good and faithful servants? Would you live your life like those wise bridesmaids? Would you live out your true identity and become true disciples and let Jesus be magnified in your life? I would like to give you just a moment of silence, reflection, since we have learned a lot tonight. I just want to give you a silent reflection time just to let what we have learned to sing in, and then I'll close with a prayer. So let's have a time of silence. Church, let's stand and let's pray together. Dear God, for the past 4 weeks, we thank you for revealing us more about what the enemy is doing. But we know that the victory is already won on the cross. So I just pray for all of us here. Lord, help us. Don't live in a life of complacency, but really make every moment count. As we are moving forward, whether we are still students, we are already at work, I just pray that you help us to live differently. Lord, help us to live not in complacency, but in expectation. Lord, help us to live for eternity, because it's really worth it. In Jesus' name we pray.